All that night, with my beautiful blonde trophy date by my side, I'd been distracted. I knew I was coming to the end of my rope, and eventually I was going to snap. If only I'd known how soon that would be. I tried to prove to myself that Miss Mills wasn't really getting inside my head by going home with the blonde. Stumbling into her apartment, we'd kissed and undressed quickly, but everything felt off. It's not that she wasn't hot and interesting enough, but as I lay her down, it was dark hair I envisioned spread across the pillow. When kissing her breasts, it was soft, full ones, not silicone, I wanted to feel. And even as I rolled on the condom and moved into her, I knew she was just a faceless body I was using for my own selfish needs. I tried to keep Chloe from my thoughts, but was unable to stop the forbidden image of what it would be like to have her under me. Only then did I come hard, quickly rolling off my date and immediately hating myself. Now I was even more disgusted with the memory than when it happened, because I'd let her get into my head and stay there. If I could make it through tonight, things would get easier. I parked the car and began mentally chanting, "You can do this. You can do this." "Mom?" I called out, looking into each room I passed.
"Out here, Bennett,"
I heard her answer from the back patio. I opened the French doors and was greeted with my mother's smile as she put the finishing touches on the outdoor table. I leaned over so she could kiss me.
"So, why are we eating out here tonight?"
"It's such a lovely evening, and I thought it might make everyone more comfortable than sitting in that stuffy dining room. You don't think anyone will mind, do you?"
"Of course not," I said. "It's beautiful out here. Don't worry."
And it was beautiful. The patio was topped with a massive white pergola, the beams draped in heavy greenery. The centerpiece was a large rectangular table that sat eight. It was covered in a soft ivory tablecloth and my mother's favorite china. Candles and blue flowers overflowed small silver pitchers running the length of the table, and a wrought iron candelabra flickered overhead.
"You do know that not even I can keep Sophia from tearing this stuff off the table, though, don't you?"
I popped a grape into my mouth.
"Oh, she's with Mina's parents tonight.
And just as well," she said.
"If Sophia were here, all the attention would be on her."
Shit. With Sophia making faces across from me, I would have had something to distract me from Joel.
"Tonight is about Chloe, and I'm really hoping that she and Joel hit it off."
She continued flitting around the patio, lighting candles and making last-minute adjustments, completely unaware of my anguish. I was screwed. As I was contemplating making a run for it, I heard Henry, on time for once.
"Where is everybody?"
he yelled, his deep voice echoing through the empty house. Opening the door for my mother, we stepped inside, finding my brother in the kitchen.
"So, Ben," he began, leaning his lanky frame against the counter, "excited about tonight?"
I waited until Mom left the room again to eye him skeptically.
"I guess," I answered, going for casual. "I think Mom made lemon squares, my favorite."
"You're so full of shit.
I'm looking forward to watching Signoli make a play for Chloe in front of everyone. Could make for an entertaining evening, don't you think?"
Just as he was pulling a chunk of bread from one of the large loaves on the counter, Mina walked in and swatted his hands away.
"Do you want to send your mother into a fit by ruining the dinner she has planned? You be nice tonight, Henry. No teasing or joking with Chloe. You know she has to be nervous enough about all this. Lord knows she puts up with enough crap from this one," she said, gesturing toward me.
"What are you talking about?"
I was growing tired of the over-eager Chloe Mills fan club around here.
"I haven't done anything to her." "Bennett?"
My father stood in the doorway, motioning for me to come with him. I followed him out of the kitchen and into his study.
"Please be on your best behavior tonight. I realize you and Chloe don't get along, but this is our home, not your office,
and I expect you to treat her with respect."
Clenching my jaw tightly, I nodded in agreement, thinking of all the ways I'd disrespected her in the past few weeks. While I went down to the washroom, Joel arrived, bringing a bottle of wine and a few variations on his eager greetings. A, "You look fantastic," for Mom, a, "How's the baby?" for Mina, and a solid handshake and man-hug combination for Henry and Dad. I lingered down the hall, mentally preparing myself for the night ahead. We'd been good friends with Joel growing up and throughout school, but I hadn't seen him since coming home. He hadn't changed much. He was a bit shorter than me, with a slim build, jet-black hair, and blue eyes. I suppose some women would consider him attractive. "Bennett!" Handshake. Man hug. "God, man! How long has it been?"
"A long time, Joel. I think since right after high school," I answered, shaking his hand firmly. "How have you been?"
"Great! Things have been really great. How about you? I've seen your picture in magazines, so I guess you're doing pretty well for yourself."
He patted my shoulder amiably. What a dick. I gave a small nod and a forced smile in return. Deciding I needed a few more minutes to think, I excused myself and headed up the stairs to my old room. Just walking through the door, I felt calmer. The room had changed little since I was 18. Even while I was out of the country, my parents kept it virtually the same as the day I left for college. Sitting on my old bed, I thought about how I'd feel if Miss Mills actually became involved with Joel. He really was a nice guy, and though I hated to admit it, there was definitely a chance they might hit it off. But the thought of another man touching her made every muscle in my body clench. I thought back to the moment in the car when I told her I couldn't stop. Even now, with all my false bravado, I didn't know if I could. Hearing a renewal of greetings and Joel's voice downstairs, I decided it was time to man up and face the music. As I cleared the final landing, I saw her. Her back was to me, and the air left my lungs. Her dress was white. Why did it have to be white? She was wearing some sort of girly summer thing that stopped right above the knee and showed off her long legs. The top was made of the same material, with little ribbons tying it together at the top of each shoulder. All I could think was how much I would love to pull those ribbons loose and see it all fall around her waist, or maybe drop to the floor. Our eyes met across the room, and she smiled such a genuine, happy smile that for a second even I believed it. "Hi, Mr. Ryan." My lips twitched in amusement, watching her play the part in front of my family. "Miss Mills," I replied, nodding. Our gaze never broke, even as my mother called everyone onto the patio for drinks before dinner. As she passed, I turned my head, speaking in a voice low enough that only she could hear. "Successful shopping trip yesterday?" Her eyes met mine, that same angelic smile on her face.
"Wouldn't you like to know?"
She brushed by me, and I felt my entire body stiffen.
"And by the way, a new line of garter belts came in," she whispered before following everyone else outside.
I stopped, and my jaw went slack as my mind raced back to our tryst in the dressing room at La Perla. Up ahead, Joel leaned in close to her. "I really hope you don't mind the flowers I sent to your office yesterday. I admit it was a bit much, but I've been looking forward to meeting you." I felt a knot tighten in my gut as Joel's words snapped me out of my dirty daydream. She turned back to look at me.
"Flowers? Did I have flowers delivered?"
I shrugged and shook my head. "I left early, remember?" I walked by on my way outside to make myself a Belvedere vodka gimlet. But as the evening wore on, I couldn't help but keep track of her in my peripheral vision. When dinner finally began, it was apparent that things were going relatively smoothly between her and Joel. She was even flirting with him. "So, Chloe,
Mr. and Mrs. Ryan tell me you're from North Dakota.
Joel's voice interrupted yet another fantasy, this one of my fist hitting his jaw. I looked over to see him smiling warmly at her.
That's right. My dad is a dentist in Bismarck. Never much of a big city girl. Even Fargo felt huge to me.
A small chuckle escaped my lips, and her eyes shot to mine.
Amused, Mr. Ryan?
I smirked as I took a sip of my drink, staring at her from above the rim.
I'm sorry, Miss Mills. I just find it fascinating that you don't like the city, and yet you choose the third largest city in the U.S. for college and everything after.
The look in her eyes told me that under any other circumstances, I would either already be naked with her on top of me, or lying in a pool of my own blood on the rug.
Actually, Mr. Ryan, she began, the smile returning to her face. My father remarried, and since my mother was born here, I came to spend some time with her before she passed.
She stared at me for a moment, and I had to admit I felt a hint of guilt twisting in my chest. It was quickly suppressed when she looked back over at Joel, biting her lip in the innocent way that only she could make look so damn sexy.
Stop flirting with him.
I clenched my fists as they continued to speak to each other. But several minutes later, I froze.
Could that be...
I grinned into my cocktail.
Yes, that was most definitely her foot creeping up my pant leg.
Fucking devious little minx, touching me while carrying on a conversation with a man we both knew could never satisfy her.
I watched her lips as they closed around her fork, and my cock hardened as her tongue slowly ran across them to remove the traces of marinade left behind by the fish.
Wow! Top 5% of your class at Northwestern? Nice!
Joel said and then looked over at me.
Bet you're glad to have someone so amazing working under you, huh?
Chloe coughed slightly, bringing her napkin up from her lap to cover her mouth. I smiled as I quickly glanced over to her and then back to Joel.
Yes, it's absolutely amazing having Miss Mills under me. She always gets the job done.
Oh, Bennett, that is so sweet of you, my mother gushed, and I watched Miss Mills' face begin to redden.
My smile vanished when I felt her foot at my crotch. Then, ever so slightly, she pressed against my erection.
Holy shit.
Now it was my turn to cough, choking on my gimlet.
Are you all right, Mr. Ryan?
She asked in feigned concern, and I nodded, glaring daggers at her. She shrugged and then looked back over to Joel.
So how about you? Are you from Chicago?
With the toe of her shoe, she continued to rub gently against me, and I tried to keep control of my breathing, keep my expression neutral. As Joel began telling her about his childhood and going to school with us, finally talking about his successful accounting business, I watched her expression morph from one of feigned interest to one of genuine intrigue.
Hell no.
I slid my left hand under the tablecloth and met the skin of her ankle, watching her jump slightly at the contact. I moved my fingertips in light circles, ran my thumb along the arch of her foot, feeling increasingly smug when she had to ask Joel to repeat himself. But then he mentioned he'd like to meet her for lunch sometime this week. My hand came to cover the top of her foot, pressing it more firmly against my cock. She smirked.
You could spare her for a lunch break, couldn't you, Bennett?
Joel asked with a cheerful smile, his arm resting over the back of Chloe's chair. It took everything I had not to reach across the table and rip that arm from his body.
Oh, speaking of lunch dates, Bennett,
Mina interrupted, tapping my arm with her hand.
You remember my friend Megan? You met her last month at the house. Mid-20s, my height, blonde hair, blue eyes. Anyway, she asked for your number. You interested?
I glanced back over to Chloe when I felt the tendons in her foot tighten, and watched her swallow slowly as she waited for my answer. Sure. You know I prefer blondes. Might make for a nice change of scenery.
I had to restrain from yelling out as her heel dug down and pinned my balls to my chair. Holding them there for a moment, she lifted the napkin from her lap and dabbed at her mouth. Excuse me. I need to use the ladies' room. Once she was in the house, my entire family scowled at me.
Bennett, Dad hissed. I thought we talked about this.
I grabbed my glass and brought it to my lips.
I don't know what you mean.
Bennett, my mother added, I think you should go apologize.
For what? I asked, setting down my drink a little too roughly. Ben, my father said sharply, leaving no room for argument.
I tossed my napkin onto my plate and pushed away from the table. I stormed through the house, searching the bathrooms on the first two floors until finally reaching the third floor, where the bathroom door was closed. Standing outside, my hand resting on the knob, I debated with myself. If I went in there, what would happen? There was only one thing I was interested in, and it sure as hell wasn't apologizing. I thought about knocking, but knew for a fact she wouldn't invite me in. I listened carefully, waiting for any noise or sign of movement from inside. Nothing. Finally, I turned the knob, surprised to find it unlocked. I'd only been in this bathroom a few times since my mother had remodeled it. It was a beautiful modern room with a custom-built marble counter and a wide mirror covering one wall. Above the vanity table was a small window that overlooked the patio and grounds below. She was sitting on the padded bench in front of the table, staring out at the sky.
"Here to grovel?" she asked.
She took the cap off her lipstick, which she carefully applied to her lips.
"I was sent to check on your delicate petal feelings."
I reached behind me to turn the lock on the bathroom door, the audible click ringing in the silent room. She laughed, meeting my eyes in the mirror. She looked completely composed, but I could see the rise and fall of her chest. She was every bit as worked up as I was.
"I assure you, I'm fine."
She put the cap back on her lipstick and shoved it into her purse. She stood and started to move past me to the door.
"I'm used to you being a prick, but Joel seems nice. I should get back downstairs."
I put my hand on the door as I leaned closer to her face.
"I don't think so."
My lips lightly grazed under her ear, and she shuddered with the contact.
"You see, he wants something that's mine, and he can't have it."
She glared at me. "What year is it? 2? Let me go. I am not yours."
"You might think that," I whispered, my lips ghosting along the column of her neck. "But your body," I said, running my hands under her skirt and pressing my hand against the damp lace between her legs, "thinks otherwise."
Her eyes closed and she let out a low moan as my fingers moved in slow circles against her clit.
"Screw you."
"Let me," I said into her neck.
She let out a shaky laugh and I pushed her against the bathroom door. Grabbing each of her hands, I raised them above her head, keeping them captive in my own and bending to kiss her. I felt her struggle weakly in my grip, and I shook my head, tightening my hold.
"Let me," I repeated, pressing my hardened cock against her.
"Oh, God," she said as her head tilted to the side, allowing me access to her neck. "We can't do this here." I ran my lips down and across her collarbone to her shoulder. Shifting both of her wrists into one hand, I reached down and slowly pulled one of the ribbons holding her top together, kissing along the newly exposed skin. Moving to the other side, I repeated the action and was rewarded when the bodice slipped down to reveal a white lace strapless bra. Fuck. Did this woman own anything that didn't make me nearly come in my pants? I trailed my mouth down to her breasts while my free hand unfastened the clasp.
There was no way I was missing the sight of her bare breasts this time. It opened easily and the lace fell away, revealing the vision that filled every one of my filthiest fantasies. As I took one pink nipple into my mouth, she moaned and her knees buckled slightly.
"Shh," I whispered against her skin. "More," she said. "Again."
I lifted her, and she wrapped her legs around my waist, bringing our bodies together more firmly. I released her hands, and she immediately brought them up to my hair and roughly pulled me closer. Fuck, I loved it when she did that. I pushed her against the door, but then realized there were too many clothes in the way. I wanted to feel the heat of her skin against my own, wanted to bury myself balls deep in her and keep her pinned to the wall until everyone had long since gone to bed. She seemed to read my mind as her fingers moved down my sides and began frantically tugging my polo from my pants, lifting it up and over my head. The sound of laughter outside floated up through the open window, and I felt her tense against me. A long moment passed before her eyes met mine, and it was clear she was struggling with what to say.
"We shouldn't do this," she said finally, shaking her head. "He's waiting for me."
She half-heartedly tried to push me away, but I held my ground.
"Do you actually want him?" I asked, feeling a wave of possessiveness boil up inside me. She held my gaze but didn't answer.
I set her down and pulled her to the dressing table, stopping to stand just behind her. From where we stood, we had a perfect view of the patio below. I pulled her bare back to my chest and brought my mouth to her ear.
"Do you see him?" I asked,
my hands sliding along her breasts.
"Look at him."
I skimmed my hands down her abdomen, along her skirt, and to her thighs.
"Does he make you feel like this?"
My fingers floated up her thigh and underneath her panties. A low hiss escaped my mouth as I felt the wetness there and pushed inside.
"Would he ever make you this wet?"
She groaned and pressed her hips back into me.
"No."
"Tell me what you want," I whispered against her shoulder.
I don't know.
"Look at him," I said, my fingers moving in and out of her. "You know what you want."
"I want to feel you inside me."
She didn't need to ask me twice. I quickly undid my pants and pushed them down my hips, grinding into her ass before I lifted her skirt and gripped her panties in my hand.
"Rip them," she whispered.
I'd never been able to be this raw and primal with anyone before, and it felt so fucking right with her. I yanked hard and her flimsy panties tore easily. I tossed them to the floor, running my hands along her skin and sliding my fingers down her arms to her hands, where I pressed her palms flat on the table in front of us.
She was a fucking gorgeous sight. Bent at the waist, skirt pushed up over her hips, perfect ass on display.
We both moaned as I lined myself up and slid in deep. Bending over, I placed a kiss and another shh on her back. More laughter came from outside. Joel was down there. Joel, who was basically a good guy, but who wanted to take her away from me. The image was enough to make me push into her more forcefully. Her strangled sounds made me smile, and I rewarded her with an increase in tempo. A twisted part of me felt a sense of vindication, seeing Chloe muted by what I did to her. She was gasping, fingers searching for something to hold onto, and my cock so hard inside her, harder every time she tried to make a sound but couldn't. Speaking softly against her ear, I asked if she wanted to be fucked. I asked her if she liked my mouth dirty, if she liked to see me filthy like this, taking her so rough she would bruise. She stuttered out a yes, and when I moved faster and harder, she begged for more. The bottles and jars on the table were rattling and tipping over with the force of our movements, but I couldn't find it in myself to care. Gripping her hair, I pulled her up so her back was against my chest.
"Do you think he can make you feel this way?"
I continued to thrust in and out of her, forcing her to look out the window. I knew I was slipping. My walls were falling around me, but I didn't care. I needed her to think of me tonight as she lay in bed. I wanted her to feel me when she closed her eyes and touched herself, remembering the way I'd fucked her. My free hand ran up her sides to her breast, cupping it and twisting her nipples.
No, she moaned. Never like this.
Sliding my hand down her side, I placed it behind her knee and hitched it up to the table, opening her up wider and allowing my thrust to deepen.
Do you feel how perfectly you fit around me?
I groaned into her neck.
You feel so fucking good. When you go downstairs, I want you to remember this. Remember what you do to me.
The sensation was becoming too overwhelming, and I knew I was getting close. I was beyond desperate. I craved her like a drug, and this feeling consumed my every waking thought. Taking her hand in mine, I laced our fingers and moved them down her body to her clit, both our hands stroking and teasing. I groaned as I felt myself glide in and out of her.
Do you feel that?
I whispered into her ear, spreading our fingers so they slipped on either side of me. She turned her head and whimpered into the skin of my neck. It wasn't enough, and I needed to keep her quiet. Removing my hand from her hair, I gently covered her mouth and placed a kiss against her flushed cheek. She let out a muffled cry, the possible sound of my name as her body tensed and then tightened all around me. After her eyes closed and her lips relaxed into a satisfied sigh, I started taking what I needed. Faster now, watching in the mirror so I could see how my thrusts made her breasts move. My climax began to rip through me. Her hand fell from my hair to cover my own mouth, and I closed my eyes and let the wave overtake me. My final thrusts were deep and hard as I spilled into her. I opened my eyes, kissing her palm before removing it from my mouth and laying my forehead against her shoulder. The oblivious voices from below continued to carry up to us. She leaned back into me and we stood there quietly for a few moments. Slowly, she began to pull away, and I frowned at the loss of contact. I watched as she straightened her skirt, retrieved her bra, and attempted to retie the straps of her top. As I reached down to pull up my pants, I grabbed the torn lace of her underwear, shoving it into my pocket. She was still struggling with her dress, and I walked over, brushing her hands away and retying the straps without meeting her gaze. The room was suddenly too small, and we glanced at each other once in an uncomfortable silence. I reached for the knob, wanting to say something, anything, to fix this. How could I ask her to fuck me and only me, and not expect anything else to change? Even I knew asking for that was likely to earn me a swift kick to the nuts. But the language for what I felt when I saw her with Joel wasn't crystallizing fast enough. My mind was blank. Frustrated, I opened the door. We both stopped short at the sight before us. There, standing outside the doorway, arms folded and eyebrow raised knowingly, was Mina.
Eight. The moment he opened the door and we came face to face with Mina, I froze. What exactly were you two doing in there? She asked, her eyes moving between the two of us. A recap of all she could have heard flashed through my head, and I felt a burst of heat spread along my skin. I chanced to look over to Mr. Ryan as he did the same, then turned back to Mina and shook my head. Nothing, we needed to talk. That's all. I tried to play it off, but knew the tremor in my voice gave me away. Oh, I heard something in there, but it certainly wasn't talking, she said, smirking.
Don't be ridiculous, Mina. We were discussing an issue at work, he said, trying to move around her.
In the bathroom? She asked.
Yes. You sent me up here to find her. This is where I found her. She shifted in front of him, blocking his path.
Do you think I'm stupid? It's no secret that you two don't discuss anything. You yell. So, what? Are you two, like, dating now?
No, we both yelled at once, our eyes meeting for a brief moment before quickly darting away.
"So, you're just fucking, then," she said. And it seemed that neither of us could find the words to reply. The tension in that hallway was so heavy I briefly considered how much damage a jump from a third-story window could do. "For how long?"
"Mina," he began, shaking his head. And for once, I actually felt bad about his discomfort. I'd never seen him look like this before. It was as if all this time it really hadn't occurred to him that there could be consequences outside of our own turmoil.
"How long, Bennett?"
"Chloe," she said, looking between us. I started. But just what? How could I explain any of this?
We
made a mistake. It was a mistake. His voice cut through my thoughts, and I looked over to him in shock.
Why did it bother me so much that he said it? It was a mistake. And yet, hearing him say that hurt.
I couldn't tear my eyes away as she began to speak.
"Mistake or not, it needs to stop now. What if I'd been Susan? And Bennett, you're her boss. Have you forgotten that?"
She exhaled deeply.
"Look, you two are adults, and I don't know what's going on here, but whatever you do, do not let Elliot find out."
A wave of nausea hit me at the idea of Elliot ever finding out about this, at how disappointed he'd be. I couldn't bear that.
"That won't be a problem," I said, purposefully avoiding Bennett's gaze. "I intend to learn from my mistake. Excuse me."
I moved past them and toward the stairs, anger and hurt settling like a lead weight deep in my stomach. The strength of my work ethic and motivation had always buoyed me through hard times in my life. Breakups, the death of my mother, rough patches with friendships. My value as an employee of RMG was now tinged with self-doubt. Was I making him see me differently because I was fucking him? Now that he'd seemed to register, finally, that if others knew about us, it could be bad for him, would he start to question my judgment more globally? I was smarter than this. It was time I started acting like it. I composed myself before stepping outside and returning to my seat beside Joel. "Everything all right?" he asked. I turned my head, letting myself look at him for a moment. He was really quite cute. Neatly combed dark hair, a kind face, and the most beautiful blue eyes I'd ever seen. He was everything I should be looking for. My gaze shot up a moment later as Mr. Ryan returned to the table with Mina, but I quickly looked away.
"Yeah, I'm just not feeling well," I said, turning back to Joel. "I think I might need to call it a night."
"Here," he said, standing to pull out my chair. "I'll walk you to your car." I said my goodbyes, feeling the unfamiliar shape of Joel's palm on the small of my back as we walked into the house. Once in the driveway, he gave me a shy smile and took my hand. "It was really nice meeting you, Chloe. I'd like to call you sometime and maybe have that lunch."
"Let me see your phone," I said.
Part of me felt bad for doing this, having been with one man upstairs not even 20 minutes ago and now giving my number to another. But it was time to move past this, and a lunch date with a nice guy seemed like a good place to start. His smile widened as I handed him his phone, and he gave me his card in return. Taking my hand, he lifted it to his lips. "I'll call you Monday, then. Hopefully your flowers aren't completely wilted." "It's the thought that counts," I said, smiling. "Thank you." He looked so sincere, so happy at the simple possibility of seeing me again, and it occurred to me that I should be swooning, or giddy. I really just wanted to throw up.
"I should go."
Joel nodded, opening my car door for me. "Of course. I hope you feel better. Drive carefully, and good night, Chloe."
"Good night, Joel."
He closed my door and I started the engine, my eyes straight ahead as I drove away from my boss's family's house.
The next morning at yoga, I considered spilling my guts to Julia. I'd felt reasonably certain I could handle things on my own, but after an entire night of staring at the ceiling and completely freaking out, I realized I needed to confide in someone. There was Sarah, and more than anyone, Sarah would understand how maddening my hot boss could be. But she also worked for Henry, and I didn't want to put her in an awkward position by asking her to keep such a huge secret. I knew Mina would be happy to talk if I asked, but there was just something about her being Orion, and knowing what she might have heard, that left me feeling less than comfortable. These were the times I really wished my mom were still alive. Just thinking about her brought a wrenching pain to my chest and tears to my eyes. Moving here to spend the last years of her life with her had been the best decision I'd ever made. And even though living so far from my dad and friends was rough at times, I knew everything happened for a reason. I just wished the reason would hurry up and make itself known. Could I tell Julia? I had to admit I was terrified of what she would think of me. But more than that, I was terrified of saying the words to someone out loud. "Okay, you keep looking at me," she said. "Either you have something on your mind, or I'm the embarrassing and gross kind of sweaty." I tried to tell her nothing. I tried to brush it off and let her think she was being absurd. But I couldn't. The weight and the pressure of the last few weeks came crashing down, and before I could control it, my chin started to tremble and I began bawling like a baby. "That's what I thought. Come on." She offered me her hand and helped me up, and gathering our belongings on the way, led me out the door. 20 minutes, 2 mimosas, and 1 emotional breakdown later, I was watching Julia's shocked expression at a table in our favorite restaurant. I told her everything. The panty ripping, my liking the panty ripping, the various locations, the mid-makeout session I hate yous, Mina catching us, my guilt over feeling like I was betraying Elliot and Susan, Joel, Mr. Ryan's caveman declarations, and finally, my fear that I was in the most unhealthy relationship in the history of the world, with no power at all. When I looked up to meet her gaze, I winced. She looked like she'd just watched a car wreck. "Okay, let me make sure I've got this straight." I nodded, waiting for her to continue. "You're sleeping with your boss?" I cringed slightly. "Well, technically not." She threw up her hand to stop me from finishing. Yeah, I got that. "And this is the same boss you oh-so-lovingly refer to as beautiful bastard." I sighed heavily and nodded again. "But you hate him." "Correct," I mumbled, my eyes shifting away from her. "Hate. Very big hate." "You don't want to be with him, but you can't stay away." "God, it sounds even worse to hear someone else say it," I groaned as I buried my face in my hands. "I sound ridiculous." "But the sexy times are good," she said with a touch of humor in her voice. "Good doesn't even come close to describing it, Julia. Phenomenal, intense, mind-blowing, multiple, orgasmingly amazing doesn't come close to describing it." "Is orgasmingly even a word?" I rubbed my face with my hands and sighed again. "Shut up." "Well," she replied thoughtfully, clearing her throat, "I guess a small penis isn't his problem after all." I let my head fall to my arms on the table. "No. No, it most definitely isn't." I looked up slightly at the sound of her muffled laughter. "Julia, this is not funny." "I beg to differ. Even you have to see how insane this is. I mean, of all the people I've ever known, you're the last person I would have ever imagined ending up in this situation. You've always been so serious, with each and every step of your life so planned out. Come on, you've only had a few real boyfriends, all of whom you've been with for what everyone considered a really silly amount of time before you slept with them. This man must be something else. I know there's nothing wrong with having a purely sexual relationship with someone. I can handle that. And I know that I can at times be overly controlled. But it's the fact that I feel I have no control over myself when I'm with him. I mean, I don't even like him, and yet I keep going back. Julia took a sip of her mimosa, and I could practically see the wheels turning as she considered everything I'd told her. What matters to you? I looked up to her, understanding. My job, my life after this, my sense of value as an employee, knowing my contribution matters. Can you feel good about those things and still fuck him? I shrugged, unable to actually untangle my thoughts on the matter. I don't know. If I felt like everything was separate, maybe. But our only interactions are at work. There isn't any instance where it isn't about both work and sex. Then you have to find a way to stop doing this. You need to keep your distance. It's not that simple, I retorted, shaking my head and beginning to ramble. I work for him. It's not as if all instances of being alone with him are easily avoidable. The number of times I've sworn off sex with him and then had sex with him hours later is ridiculous. And on top of that, we have a conference to attend in 2 weeks. Same hotel, same general vicinity at all times. Beds! Chloe, what has gotten into you? Julia asked in an astonished tone. Do you want this to continue? No, of course not. She eyed me skeptically. I mean, it's just that I'm different with him. Like, I want things I've never wanted before. And maybe I should let myself want those things. I just wish it was someone else making me want them. Someone nice. Like Joel, for instance. The boss is not very nice. Boss man makes you want what? Like spankings and stuff? Julia responded with a chuckle. But when I looked away, I heard her gasp. Oh my God, he spanked you? My wide eyes shot back to her. A little louder, Julia. I don't think the guy in the back heard you. As soon as I was sure no one was looking, I smoothed loose tendrils of hair back from my forehead. Look, I know I need to stop this, but I paused as I felt goosebumps rise along my skin. My breath caught in my throat and I turned slowly to look at the door. It was him. Scruffy and dressed down in a black t-shirt and jeans, sneakers and hair in even sexier disarray than usual. I turned back around to face Julia, feeling all the blood drain from my face. Chloe, what's wrong? You look like you've just seen a ghost, Julia said, reaching across the table to touch my arm. I swallowed hard in an attempt to find my voice, then looked at her. Do you see that man next to the door? The tall, good-looking one? She raised her head slightly to look, and I kicked her under the table. Don't make yourself obvious. That is my boss. Julia's eyes widened and her jaw dropped. Holy shit, she gasped, and shook her head as she looked him up and down. You weren't kidding, Chloe. That is one beautiful bastard. I wouldn't kick him out of my bed, or car, or dressing room, or elevator, or— Julia, you're really not being helpful here. Who's the blonde? She asked, motioning toward them. I turned back to see Mr. Ryan being led to a table with a tall, leggy blonde, his hand on the small of her back. A sharp stab of jealousy pressed into my chest. What a prick, I hissed. After his behavior last night, he has got to be kidding me. Just as she was about to respond, Julia's phone rang and she reached for it in her purse. The, hey baby, greeting told me it was her fiancé and this would take a while. I glanced again at Mr. Ryan, talking and laughing with the blonde. I couldn't tear my eyes away. He was even more attractive in a relaxed setting, smiling, eyes dancing when he laughed. Dick! As if he heard my thoughts, he lifted his head and our eyes locked. I clenched my jaw and turned away, tossing my napkin to the table. I had to get out of here. I'll be right back, Julia. She nodded and waved absently, never pausing her conversation. Standing up, I quickly made my way past his table, making sure to avoid his eyes. I had just turned the corner and spotted the safety of the ladies' room door when I felt a strong hand on my forearm.
Wait.
That voice sent a jolt through me. Okay, Chloe, you can do this. Just turn around and look at him and tell him to fuck off. He's an asshole who called you a mistake last night and shows up with some blonde bimbo today. Straightening my shoulders, I turned to face him. Shit. He looked even better up close. I'd never seen him looking anything other than perfectly groomed, but he obviously hadn't shaved this morning, and I desperately wanted to feel the scratch of his stubble on my cheeks. Or thighs. What the hell do you want? I spat at him, pulling my arm free from his grasp. Without the benefit of my heels, I felt like he towered over me. Looking up at his face, I could see faint circles under his eyes. He looked tired. Well, good. If his nights were half as bad as mine, I was happy. Running his hands through his hair, he glanced around uncomfortably.
I wanted to talk to you, to explain about last night.
What's there to explain? I asked, nodding my head toward the dining room and the blonde still sitting at his table. My chest twisted tightly, painfully. Change of scenery. I get it. I'm actually glad to see you here like this. It helps remind me why this thing between us is a terrible idea. I don't want to be indirectly fucking all of your other women.
What the hell are you talking about? He asked, looking back at me. Are you talking about Emily?
Is that her name? Well, you and Emily have a lovely meal, Mr. Ryan. I turned to leave, but was once again stopped when he grabbed my arm. Let go.
Why would you even care?
Our argument had begun to attract attention from the staff passing through to the kitchen. After a quick glance around, he pulled me into the ladies' room and locked the door. Fantastic. Another bathroom. I shoved him away when he stepped closer. What do you think you're doing? And what do you mean, why would I care? You fucked me last night, told me all about how I couldn't possibly want to go out with Joel, and now you're here with someone else? I let myself forget you're a man whore. Your behavior is completely expected. I'm pissed at myself. I was so angry my nails were practically cutting into the palms of my hands.
You think I'm here on a date?
He exhaled heavily, shaking his head.
This is fucking unbelievable. Emily is a friend. She runs a charitable organization that Ryan Media supports. That's all. I was supposed to meet her Monday to sign some papers, but she had a last-minute flight change and is leaving the country this afternoon. I haven't been with anyone else since the He paused to rethink his words. Since we first... You know.
He finished, motioning vaguely between us. What? We stood there, staring at each other as I tried to let his words seep in. He hadn't slept with anyone else? Was that even possible? I knew for a fact that he was a womanizer. I'd personally witnessed his ever-expanding collection of arm candy at corporate events, not to mention the stories swimming around the building. And even if what he was saying was true, it didn't change the fact that he was still my boss, and this whole thing was seriously wrong. All those women throwing themselves at you and you haven't nailed even one? Aw, I'm touched. I turned for the door.
It's not that difficult to believe, he growled, and I could feel his eyes burning into my back.
You know what? It doesn't matter. It was just a mistake, right?
Look, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
He moved closer,
and his scent, like honey and sage, washed over me. I suddenly felt trapped, like there wasn't enough oxygen in the tiny room. I needed to get out of here now. What had Julia said less than 5 minutes ago? Don't be alone with him? Good advice. I happened to like this particular pair of panties and didn't really want to see them in tatters in his pocket. Okay, that was a lie.
Are you seeing Joel again?
He asked from behind me. My hand was on the knob. All I had to do was turn it and I was safe. But I froze, staring at that damn door for what seemed like minutes. Does it matter?
I thought we covered this last night, he said,
his breath warm against my hair. Yeah, a lot of things were said last night. His fingertips moved up my arm and slipped the thin strap of my tank top off my shoulder.
I didn't mean to say this was a mistake, he whispered against my skin. I just panicked.
That doesn't mean it's not true. My body instinctively leaned into him, my head tilting slightly, allowing him easier access. We both know it.
I still shouldn't have said it.
He brushed my ponytail over my shoulder and his soft lips moved across my back.
Turn around.
2 words. How was it possible that 2 simple words could make me question everything? It was one thing for him to press me against a wall or forcefully grab me, but now he was putting everything in my court. Biting my lip hard, I tried to bring myself to turn the handle. My hand actually twitched before it fell to my side in defeat. I turned and looked up to meet his eyes. His hand came to rest on my cheek, his thumb brushing across my bottom lip. Our gazes locked, and just when I thought I couldn't wait one more second, he pulled me to him, pressing his mouth to mine. The moment we kissed, my body gave up fighting and I couldn't get close enough. My purse landed on the tile floor at my feet, and my hands dove into his hair, pulling him to me. He backed me into the wall and ran his hands down my body, lifting me slightly. He pushed into my yoga pants and cupped my ass.
Fuck, what are you wearing?
He groaned into my neck, his palms sliding back and forth over the pink satin. Lifting me fully, he wrapped my legs around his waist and pressed me further into the wall. He moaned as I took his earlobe between my teeth. Pulling one side of my top down, he sucked one of my nipples into his mouth. My head fell back and hit the wall as I felt the scruff of his unshaven face against my breast. A shrill sound broke through my haze and I heard him swear. My phone. Placing me on my feet, he stepped away, his face already back in its usual scowl. I quickly rearranged my clothing and reached for my purse, grimacing when I saw the picture displayed on the screen. Julia, I answered breathlessly. Chloe, are you in the bathroom fucking that nice slice of man cake? I'll be there in a second, okay? I ended the call and shoved the phone back into my bag. I looked up at him, feeling my rational side return after the small interruption. I should go.
Look, I...
He was cut off as my phone rang again. I answered without bothering to look at the screen. God, Julia, I'm not in here fucking the piece of mancake.
Chloe?
Joel's confused voice sounded through the phone. Oh, hi. Shit, this could not be happening to me.
I'm glad to hear that you're not fucking mancake,
Joel said, laughing tightly.
Who is it? Bennett growled.
I pressed my hand to his lips and gave him the dirtiest look I could manage. Look, I can't really talk right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bother you on a Sunday, but I couldn't stop thinking about you. And I don't want to get anyone in trouble or anything, but right after you left, I checked my email, and there was a confirmation for delivery of your flowers.
Really? I asked, feigning interest. My gaze was locked with Bennett's.
Well, it seems they were signed for by Bennett Ryan.
9. I watched as several expressions passed over her face at once. Embarrassment, annoyance, and then... curiosity? I could vaguely make out a man's voice on the other end and felt the caveman begin to awaken. Who the hell was calling her? Suddenly, her eyes narrowed, and a tiny voice inside told me I should be nervous.
Well, thank you so much for letting me know. Yes, yes, I will. Okay. Yes, I'll call you when I decide. Thanks for calling, Joel.
Joel? Fucking Signoli. She ended the call and slowly put the phone back into her purse. Looking down, she shook her head, a small laugh escaping before a wicked smile graced her mouth.
"Is there anything you'd like to tell me, Mr. Ryan?" she asked sweetly,
and for some reason it made me even more anxious. I racked my brain but couldn't think of anything. What was she talking about?
That was the strangest conversation. It seems that when Joel checked his email this morning, he had a delivery confirmation for my flowers. You'll never guess what it said.
She moved one step toward me, and instinctively I moved one step back. I didn't like where this was going.
It turns out that someone signed for them.
Oh, shit.
The name on the slip said Bennett Ryan.
Fuck. Why the hell did I sign my own name? I tried to think of a response, but my mind was suddenly blank. Obviously, my silence told her everything she needed to know.
You son of a bitch! You signed for them and then lied to me?
She landed a hard shove on my chest, and I had a sudden instinct to protect my balls.
Why did you do that?
My back was now against the wall, and I was frantically searching for an alternative exit. What? I babbled. My heart felt like it was going to claw its way out of my chest.
Seriously, what the hell?
I needed an answer, and I needed it fast. Running my hands through my hair for the 100th time in the last 5 minutes, I decided it was probably better to just come clean. I don't know, okay? I shouted back. I just... fuck. She took out her phone and appeared to be texting someone. What are you doing? I asked.
Not that it's any of your business, but I'm telling Julia to just go on without me. I'm not leaving here until you tell me the truth.
She glared at me, and I could feel the anger coming off of her in waves. I briefly considered telling Emily what was going on, but she'd seen me follow Chloe. I was pretty sure she'd figured it out by now.
Well?
I met her eyes and let out a deep sigh. There was absolutely no way I could explain myself and not sound like I'd lost my mind.
Okay, yes. I signed for them.
She stared at me, her chest heaving and her fists balled so tightly that her knuckles were white.
And?
And I threw them away.
As I stood facing her, I realized that I deserved every bit of her anger. I was being unfair. I was offering her nothing, but still standing in the way of someone who could possibly make her happy.
You are fucking unbelievable, she growled through clenched teeth.
I knew she was doing everything she could to keep from lunging across the room and pummeling me.
Explain to me why you would do that.
Here was the part I didn't know how to answer. Because... I scratched the back of my head. I hated that I'd let myself get into this situation.
Because I don't want you to go out with Joel.
Of all the asinine, chauvinistic... Who in the hell do you think you are? Just because we've had sex does not mean you get to make decisions in my life. We aren't a couple. We aren't dating. Hell, we don't even like each other, she yelled.
You think I don't know that? It doesn't make any sense, okay? But when I saw those flowers, come on, they were fucking roses.
She looked as if she were ready to have me committed somewhere.
Are you on some sort of medication? What does the fact that they were roses have to do with anything?
You hate roses.
When I said this, her face fell, eyes soft and dark. I rambled on. I just saw them and